The founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., was one of God's great warriors for the faith. The message you will hear now, recorded during Dr. Jones' earthly ministry, illustrates his firm conviction that whatever the Bible says is so.
My friends, this is the 52nd message in this series, and that's the last message. We wanted one for every week in the year, so we have 52 when I get through this one. I've been talking to you about the Word of God. I told you what it says about how to be saved. I've told you what it says about heaven and hell. I told you what it says about God, what it says about Jesus, what it says about the devil, and what it says about the Holy Spirit, what it says about the second coming of Christ, what it says about business, what it says about many things. But I haven't told you everything. But I've covered as much ground I think is possible in these messages. And now to the last one. I want to quote a verse of Scripture and say something to you that you need to hear, and we all need to hear it. It's the last verse of the 29th chapter of Proverbs. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be suddenly destroyed, and have thou remedy. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be suddenly destroyed, and have thou remedy. You know, this nation started with God. We started with God. Everybody that came to America wasn't a Christian. People came to America that were infidels, and some of them atheists, and Unitarians, and agnostics, and they didn't believe a thing. But you know what happened? People that came to America respected the Bible. And if they didn't believe it was the Word of God, they accepted its philosophy. They believed in the philosophy of self-control, self-restraint. They started out all right. They made children mind the parents. And they made men and women, when they married, stayed married, most of them. They didn't get divorced as much in those days. They kept their homes tied together. And as I've said to you in some of the messages that have gone before, that the Bible helps you through this world. If you'll just read it and live up to its practical philosophy, it'll help you. It won't take you to heaven to live up to that philosophy. You have to trust Jesus Christ that died for you to be saved. You have to be born again to be saved. You have to receive Jesus Christ to get a new nature. But that Bible helps you through this world. As Christians, we can't know what to do without the Bible. It's a handbook for us Christians to tell us how to get through. Well, our forefathers started with God. They might not have all of them believed in heaven and hell and the blood of Christ and all that, but they believed the philosophy, and they built the schools like that. They built the schools on self-control, self-restraint, discipline. They built their homes like that. But, you know, we walked out on the Bible. And then we've had trouble, all sorts of trouble. And now we have a juvenile crime wave. Back in those old Bible-believing days, we could stand up and face anybody. This nation, not old, not strong in some ways, but we were strong. We were red-blooded. We could go out and face the foe and meet the enemy on the battlefield, solve our problems. We debated them. We weren't perfect people, but we were rugged people. The Bible produces rugged character. The modern philosophy doesn't. The modern philosophy is the philosophy of the devil. It says, do as you please, live your own life. The modern philosophy is the philosophy that wrecked paradise, that destroyed the Garden of Eden. The modern philosophy is the philosophy that wrecks homes. That's what's the matter with us. You know, when a man married in the old days, he kept his word. When he said, till death do us part, he meant it. And when she said, till death do us part, she meant it. And they stood together. Divorce mills seldom ever would grind out of divorce either. But now look at it. And children obeyed their parents. And they went to school and they did hard work and they learned to study. And they were made to study. Knowledge wasn't as widespread as it is now. But the fundamental principles were there of Christianity in the Bible. And those rugged old characters were made by that philosophy. Not just cutting them their way through a wilderness in this country, not that. They were made what they were by their rugged philosophy. You know, I saw something the other day in a television picture that stirred me up very greatly and made me a little concerned. I saw over in China, a television picture of China, about how they were working over there under communistic influences, building roads and women working and so forth and so on, and how they'd sweat and tug and toil for a false philosophy like communism. But I said to myself, that makes me a little nervous because they're willing to sweat for it. Let me tell you something. Our forefathers used to sweat for the Bible. preachers believed it. They didn't tolerate any encroachment upon the Word of God. They had their rugged debates, and they stood up, these preachers did, and said, whatever this book says is so. And I say it says this, and he says it says that, but he's wrong. I'm going to show you it says what I say it says. But they agreed on every fundamental. They agreed that man was a fallen creature. They agreed that a fellow had to be born again. They agreed that sin was a horrible thing. They agreed that whatever the book said was true. And they had the debates and fought those battles in those days. Yes, sir, they stood for something. You got where now everybody's doing it. Why not come along? Get a divorce? Why not? What's wrong getting divorced? Haven't I got a right to be happy? Well, now, wait a minute. You haven't got a right to disobey God. And if you're a sinner, you can't disobey God and get away with it. And a Christian can't either. And a nation can't either. You can't turn the light of God's Word and get away with it. God won't take it. This thing can't go on, this country, men and women. America's done in a few years what it has taken other nations centuries to do. America's put a big percentage of its population in the cities. You have in the cities of America the same element of degeneracy and decay that wrecked Greece and ruined Rome and destroyed the civilizations of the past. And the dust of the centuries blows over the bones of dead nations that went the way we are going. The elements of destruction are working in this country. And the only thing on earth that can save us is an old-time Holy Ghost revival, not an ecumenical compromise evangelistic movement. It's going to take an old-time, uncompromising, straight-shooting preaching, no flinching, no compromising with those that don't believe the Bible. We're not going to have a revival that way. We'll have what folks think is a revival, but it'll leave us more anemic than we've ever been. We're getting more anemic in this country every day. God won't put up with everything. We've had our chances in America. On the radio and on television, you have folks today hearing the messages, few preachers, faithful preachers, and the gospel was peculiarly fitted to the radio. This kind of preaching I'm doing right now seems to sort of fit the radio. It may not fit you very well, some of it. It may be listening, but it fits. And we're going to have to get back there. Now, make up your mind. Make up your mind. Now, I'm getting to be an old man. I'm not fighting for myself. I remember years ago when I held a meeting in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I came out of the church where Dr. George Stewart was pastor, where I just preached, and his father-in-law, old Dr. Sullins, was there. And I was a young man in those days. And I said, Dr. Sullins, what do you think most about now? Well, he said, I'm getting old, you know, Brother Bob. Getting along in years, he said. I can't be here much longer. He said, you know, I'm just wondering what kind of race we're going to have, what kind of human beings are going to live in this country. He said, I can see some changes taking place. I didn't see them very clearly at that time, though I began to get a little peep into them. I'm just wondering, he said, we haven't got the rugged religion we used to have in America. It doesn't have the depth to it. It's too superficial. The preachers are trained along how to run a machine, an ecclesiastical machine, but that old-time rugged preaching's gone, and I'm concerned. The old man said, I just committed a little poem to memory. I don't know whether I can remember it or not, but I remember a little part of it. He looked at me and he said, the traveler going along highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim, the sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim, yeah, you wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. The traveler lifted his old gray head. Good friend, the path I've come, he said, there follows after me, dear youth, whose feet must pass this way. He, too, must cross in the twilight dim. A good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. When I founded Bob Jones University, I made up my mind to found a school that would stand for the old, rugged, old, red-blooded, uncompromising Bible religion. No dodging, no flinching. I made up my mind to be a school that emphasized culture. It wouldn't be a wild, weird, fanatical thing. Be now the earth a practical, sensible institution. And it wouldn't trim, it wouldn't compromise. We'd stand on fundamental principles that the stars fall out of our silver sockets. And God Almighty has prospered and blessed the school, as no school's ever been blessed and prospered. It's significant that our students come from all the states and from a number of foreign countries. And they come here for it. We've got to get back there and train a new generation in the Bible, the philosophy of the Bible, the ethics of the Bible, the old-time principles of the Bible. We've got to do that if America holds together. This nation can't go on. You've got folks in America today call themselves Americans or the communists, support communists. Say, hoorah for the stars and stripes and slip a little under the communists. They're in America. And you've got folks in America today that'll stand up and say, yes, I believe the Bible. And they'll turn right around and give their money to some program in some church and help support a program that robs people of faith in the Bible. Now, that's what we're facing. It's a condition that's due to a bankruptcy of religious character. It couldn't have gone that way in the old days. Our forefathers wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done one single thing contrary to what they believed. They lived up to what they believed. They may have had human weaknesses and may have sinned, but they knew when they sinned, and they repented and wept over their sins. And they had great revivals every year. They preached to hellfire and damnation and judgment. And they preached that sin would damn them. And they preached they had to repent or perish. And they'd get on their knees and cry out to God and be reclaimed and get up and start over again. And others would be converted. They'd go home and erect family altars. And they had the old camp meetings in America. And they had every city in America had an outstanding voice in it, preaching against sin and that which is wrong. Now, where are we going? All of us today is scattered over this country, churches, schools, and all that, talking about how wonderful we are and saying we are preaching Jesus and all that kind of business. Yeah, you're preaching a Jesus that you've cut down and trimmed down to suit an age. Instead of putting an age up to a Bible standard, we've pulled Jesus Christ and the Bible down to the low level where we want to live. May God help us to be faithful. And remember now the Word of God. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. Go back home and get your Bible. Get your Bible down in your home now and read it. And tell your children it's the Word of God and drill it into them and bring them up on it. And let's do the best we can to save ourselves from wreck and ruin and to save another generation. We need a revival in America, not a compromised ecumenical revival. That people are going to think it's a revival. We need an old-time Holy Ghost revival, Bible revival, without compromise. And the people are confused and don't know where they're going. And they sometimes think they're going right when there's a way that seems good to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. You can't go God's way unless you travel like God told you to travel. You can't do what God tells you to do without being what God meant for you to be. Let's get back there. Our Father, help us to believe thy word and live for thy word and be true to thy word. And all things magnify thy word. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.